Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know and uphold the truth that God has given us through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, three commands. And those three commands sum up all of the scriptures from the beginning of the book of Genesis to the end of the book of Revelation, that we are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today, that is exactly what we are going to do. We're continuing in our sermon series that I have entitled, There is a War Raging. And we are to put on the full armor of God as this week's installment to you this day. We're going to begin looking at Ephesians chapter 6 once again. And I'm going to remind us of the word that we're going to be in for about 3.5-4 weeks. My hope is to finish this up the first week of November, and then we will be able to move into other contexts. But the reality is, we're not going to leave this scripture. We are going to find ourselves in this spiritual battle until the day the Lord takes us home. And then it simply changes venue, because we will be in heaven praying for all of those who are here, worshiping our Lord, our God, and understanding that he is the one who is in control of all things. So from the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, we read these words. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this wickedness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all of the saints. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Again, we need to understand there are a lot of evil things coming in our world, and they come in the form many times of people. However, we do not fight against people. We fight against powers and principalities. That is exactly what the word tells us here. For our struggle is against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of the darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. We need to understand there is an army out there that is coming after us. They're already defeated. They knew that at the cross of Calvary, but they really found out when he ascended and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. Because when Jesus went down into hell, he was there for 3 days. What was he there for? To witness to himself and to set captives free. What do you mean to set captives free? Everyone who was in Abraham's bosom, all of those who had been taken into Sheol, waiting for that time when the Christ would come and open the heavenly tabernacle that they were allowed to enter in, because the blood of Christ had to be put on the altar of the heavenly tabernacle. So the body of Christ had to be crucified, and then he had to return to the Father and put his blood on that altar. As he did those things, Satan and all the angels knew they could not defeat God. So the war changed. They were no longer battling God. Now they battle us, because they know they've lost. They know their time is short. And I think it's amazing, because a lot of us read that scripture where it says that, you know, and Satan knew his time was short, and we all attribute that to the tribulation. No, dear brothers and sisters, that attributes to the church age. Satan has been trying to stop the church since its beginning. He tried to stop the coming of Christ in the Hebraic times. But now he's trying to stop the church because he knows if he takes us out, we will not be effective. We cannot do anything more. That's why you see all the shootings and all the different things that happen in our world. This is evil coming against the church. But we also need to understand that as Satan wars with us, we have some of the greatest weapons that you will ever think. But we have to apportion them to ourselves. And then we need to stand in them. Because as we do, we will be able to defeat him as he comes at us. How many times do you and I feel like all this stuff is coming at us? I don't know where it's coming from. We get mad at God. I mean, let's face it. How many of us get mad at God? You can say, yes, I do. I'll guarantee you I have. I don't anymore. All right? I mean, he's broken me many, many, many times. But every time he breaks me, it's not because he's mean and nasty. It's because I'm dumb. And I do dumb things. Is anybody else in that boat? And God corrects us and brings us back into alignment. Because you see, the world would look at these things and say, oh, it's horrible, it's horrible. And, you know, evil's everywhere, and oh, woe is me. And I look at it and I say, oh, no, no, no. What the world meant for evil, God meant for good. Because you see, when I was in that car accident and my knee was busted and I was bleeding into my boots and my hip was sticking out the back of my, you know, the skin was still covering it, but it was protruding out here. You know, it's kind of cool when you turn around and you can see that much of your hip inside your skin. I wasn't standing there saying, woe is me. I was literally saying, Lord, I'm going home. It's okay. If my fight's over, it's okay. And I prayed for the people around me that were hurt. I didn't pray for me. Prayed for my wife. Prayed for my son. Prayed for the gentleman who was dying in the truck that hit me. Praying for the pastor who was with me. Please remember there were three pastors in that wreck. Three pastors. Every person in that wreck was a pastor. And the Lord told me, no, your heart's right. Because when I prayed, and that angel grabbed my arm and said, it's finished. I had no idea what it meant until afterwards. Because brothers and sisters, we can either be a victim or we can be a victor. You get to choose. But if you're going to choose to be a victor, you've got to be prepared to be a victor. You have got to be prepared to go into this battle with everything the good Lord has given you, or you will be defeated. Because Satan will get you down. He'll get you inside your own mind. He'll get you inside your own heart. He'll get you inside of all the lies, and he will devour you. He will stop you. It will be over. But if we put on the armor of God, and I'm telling you right now, it's something you have to do every day. It's something you have to do in every circumstance that comes your way. You will be a victor. We're told here, and I'm going to go over two of them today. We're told here that we're to gird our loins with truth, having put on this girdle, a belt, it tells us in other places. What does a belt do? What does a belt do? Well, if you're a man, your belt holds up your britches. Amen, and praise God. I can remember years ago, we were over at another church that I was serving, and one of our elderly gentlemen, we know him as Pop. I don't know if you remember this, Miss Beth. It was her dad. Yeah. He was walking down the aisle, and his britches hit the floor. He just bent down, picked him up, pulled him up, and kept walking. He needed a belt, and that's the truth. But the belt of truth is that which holds us together. It is that which brings us to that place of being able to fasten all the other things that are necessary for the battle that we are going into. Truth is the foundation. Many of us look at the foundation as being something close to the ground, but in armor, the foundation is that belt. It rests on your hips, and there it cinches because it pulls tight, and it won't drop down and it won't go up if it's cinched properly. And the truth is that proper cinch, because there is nothing more than truth. Truth will not fail us. And that is the one thing I need us to understand. When we have our loins, and what are our loins, okay? What are our loins? I mean, I don't talk like that. That's just a word that I would not think of, okay? Our loins, in a physical sense, that's our thighs and our upper, or the lower portion of our abdomen. That is, and think about it. Where does your strength come from? If you're a man and you're working, or if you're a woman and you're working, you know, where does your strength come from? It comes from your thighs, your buttock, and your midsection. How many of us have a bad back? Okay. Do you know why you have a bad back? And I think this is funny. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, my sciatica. 90% of us have a bad back because we have weak abdomens. Did you know that? Your abdomen is in direct regard to your back because you are pushing your back. You're using these muscles far more because these muscles aren't strong enough. We need to gird ourselves with the truth, and we need to take all of it into us, lest something's going to be missing and we'll be weakened. I want you to think about this. I have a friend, we called him Chicken Legs growing up. Every time he would wear shorts, you know what I mean when I say that, right? He had straws for legs, okay? He looked good from here up, but don't put on shorts. Poor Eddie, oh my gosh, I loved him. He was my friend from, I don't know, probably 6 years old when I met him until he moved to Florida when he was 23. But we called him Chicken Legs. That's all his life, we called him Chicken Legs. And it was just amazing. Because he had no strength in his lower body. Now he's changed. He's grown up. How many of us need to grow up and get a little bit stronger and work on some of this stuff? And now he's a maintenance man down in Florida taking care of all these facilities. And I just think to myself, oh my goodness, Chicken Legs is down in Florida doing all this heavy labor. Yeah. Because he's grown up into it. We need to grow up into this truth. And this truth is going to keep us. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We're going to be in 31. John chapter 8, verse 31 through 47. From 31 in the 8th chapter of the book of John, thus saith the Lord. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come of my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. Brothers and sisters, I can't talk any plainer than what Jesus just said there. The truth is going to set you free. We are a slave. In other words, when we are a slave to sin, there is a yoke on our shoulders, and we cannot go and be and do what God wants us to be and do. We cannot achieve our goals, our purposes in life, because we are held back. Someone else is restraining us. But as soon as we are set free, as soon as we receive the truth, the yoke is gone. And now we bear the truth, and the strength of our being is in our own selves. Wrong chicken, because you ain't gonna do it, and neither am I. I need the Lord. We need to remember this is his truth. This is what he just said. Everything he spoke came from who? The Father. Everything he is comes from who? The Father. And in that we have our being. Nothing can defeat him. You're not putting on your truth. How many people have you ever heard or talked to that said, well, that's your truth. My truth is, and then they go on about something stupid. We find this all the time in our world. There is only one truth, and it is absolute. And it's amazing to me because people will argue with me and they will say, there is no absolute truth. And then I'll look at them and say, are you absolutely sure? Because they're making a definitive, correct? So there has to be absolute truth if they're absolutely saying that. And we know his name. His name is Jesus Christ. He was with God in the beginning, and he is God. And when we understand that we are taking him upon ourselves, his strength, his might, his direction, nothing can stop us. Nothing can pull away the other pieces of armor that he has given us. You and I need to realize we're not putting on our truth. I'm not reading through here and picking out the pieces that I want. I have to hold to all of it because all of it rounds me out. I don't have a weak abdomen. I don't have skinny thighs. Everything is working in a portion. Therefore, my back doesn't get labored. Because everything's working properly. We should all be atlases. Some of you, I think, got that. But as we walk in his truth, we are empowered to do so much more. And it's that more that I want us to understand, because the yoke of slavery that I'm talking about, keep your finger here, but go to Galatians, because I want you to see it. You know, I want you all to understand, pastor is not the definitive of the word, amen? The word is the definitive of the word. So if we go to Galatians chapter 5, Because this is something that each and every one of us needs to understand. And this is verse one, just one verse. Just one verse. I want you all to read it with me in your version, okay? Just verse one. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Did you hear that? We get these things that come into our lives, these things that want to trouble us, these things that are meant for evil, and we allow the truth to fade away and we grab a hold of the lies. And all of a sudden, we are once again in slavery and we're going to be controlled. That yoke is going to begin to steer us where it wants us to go. I'm so proud of Pastor David. I'm so proud of Marion. Not in themselves, but in the Lord. Can I get an amen? I am so proud of Miss Susan. I am so proud of Brother Mitch. And I mean that with all my soul, because each of them is understanding that God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. And that's the truth. Miss Susan's out right now because she just had surgery on the 10th. So she's not here today. But how many of us, because she's not here today, are going to pray for her, because we know why she's not here. We know that she is dealing with this thing that she's been dealing with for years, and we're calling it over. Can I get an amen, church? Over. Done. No more surgeries. Lord, restore. That's who he is. He's our redeemer. He's our restorer. He is the one who is able. He is the great physician. And we need to stand in that truth, each and every one of us. And I have to ask you to stand in that truth for your own life. Now, does that mean that we're going to get old and we're going to be like 14 years old, you know, 18 years old and be 90? No. I'm 62 and I feel like 62. Of course, I don't know what 62 is supposed to feel like, but I'm here, so this must be it. It ain't going to get any better than this. But I do know one thing. In this, I can be my best that I can be if I'm holding to the truth and I am fastening to it all the other pieces that the Lord has. Because as I do, they don't move. And I will be fully protected, because the truth will set me what? Free. And I'm no longer shackled. No one controls me. I follow the Lord because he is the truth. And I go where he wants me to go. And I think it's amazing, because what does he say to do? He says it here. He said it in Ephesians. He said it in Galatians. Stand firm then. Stand firm then. Don't be moved by all the stuff that's going to come at you. Stand in that truth. Have your being. Go about your days. Go out, you know, and hand out those scriptures. Let's get discipleship going and teach other people this stuff. Amen? Amen? Let's get out there and pray. You, as you are working, as you are going, as you are having your being, whatever it may be, do it to the best of your ability, holding on to the truth that God has a plan and a purpose for you in this thing in which you find yourself. Because if you're doing it willy-nilly and thinking to yourself, oh, I don't really know what I'm doing. How many of us really think we know what we're doing? I like that. I got an elder back there doing this number. I think it's amazing. I know exactly what I'm doing right now. Ask me what I'm doing 2 minutes from now, I can't tell you. It's kind of like this: the sound system went out here this morning. I know what we were supposed to be doing, but what was I doing? I go moment by moment. That's why my calendar is written in pencil. I don't put anything in ink, because I know God's going to change my schedule, but God's truth never changes. He changes me. And that's the one thing I want you all to remember. God's truth, girded around your loin, is going to change you. It's going to change you. It is going to embolden you in the strength of your being. It, he, okay? I have to say this. It's not an it. he's a he, is going to empower us to be more than we can be. As we put on that armor and we hold to this truth, we need to understand that this truth, and we're going to see this truth holds the breastplate of righteousness in place. Do you know it fastens to it? Okay, why? Well, why is that important? Because if you would lean forward, okay, I wear a tie all the time, all right, when I'm wearing a suit. I wear a tie. I love ties. And when I lean down, where's the tie go? Out there. Right in my soup. You know what I mean? Right in my soup. Or the mashed potatoes and gravy. Yep. And it opens up for harm. When you have that breastplate of righteousness fastened to the belt of truth, it does not move from your body. It stays right there. You are protected. It's not going anywhere. It's the same way with the sword of the word. Where does the sword fasten? Right there. You don't have to look for it. How many of you men, when you go looking for that socket wrench, have to do a runabout the whole garage? Okay, now I'm looking over here at Liddell, who's you know, and he's like, oh, no. And Jim, nope, I know right where it is because it goes right back where I got it from. Amen, guys? That's the way it's supposed to be. And that's what happens when we walk in the truth. When we have that truth, we know where it is. We don't have to look. All we have to do is reach for it. Out it comes. It is the surety of Christ. And it is knowing that that is where we are and where we get to be. So then let's look at this breastplate of righteousness. Because what does this breastplate do? Well, it protects our heart and our lungs. Okay? It protects our heart and our lungs. How important is your heart and your lungs as a human being? Without your lungs or without your heart, you're dead. And that's the one thing that we need to understand. God is telling us here, this is a vital part of you, and I'm going to cover you with myself. This is not our righteousness, okay? We all look at righteousness and, you know, Abraham believed by faith and therefore it was attributed unto him as righteousness. No. He was the only person that got in such a manner. The rest of us, by faith, through Christ. Because he had not introduced Abraham to Christ yet. At that point in time, he simply introduced him through himself. And Abraham believed and it was considered righteousness unto him. But you and I have a righteousness that is far beyond, that protects our heart, protects our lungs, because whose breath is in us, dear brothers and sisters? The breath of God is in us. That's the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That's Christ's righteousness. Who breathes the word out into this world? The Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, because he is spirit, the nephesh. Okay, when God brought us into being, he breathed into the man's nostrils. The nephesh was given unto us, and we became a living being. And now he needs to protect that which is in us, which is the Holy Spirit, which is the reasoning of our hearts and where he abides and where he lives. Because as we walk and have our being, we get a boldness. We get that sense that we know what is right. What is right? Well, number one, the word tells us what is right. And as each and every one of us walk towards this goal, how many of you are there yet? How many of you have accomplished all of this? How many of you think you're 50%? I love you folks. You are so wonderful. Nobody's raising their hands up here, okay? They are so humble. Let me tell you how humble they are. And I do, I mean that. I'm picking on y'all. But I mean that. We know we're not there yet. Amen? But we're in progress. Amen? Amen. Because as we take his righteousness upon us, he's the one who died for us. He was sinless. We are sin-filled, and we understand it. And that's why our heart needs to be protected. Because, brothers and sisters, we have a conscience. How many people out there that sin every day have absolutely no conscience? They just keep doing it over and over and over and expecting everybody to accept them and what they're doing. But our righteousness, which is Christ's righteousness, says, no, 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 I can't do that. Why? Because he saved a wretch like me. How many of us here are wretches? Do you know that's why he has to protect our hearts? Because if he doesn't cover our hearts with his righteousness, we will be puffed up in our unrighteousness. He needs us to see we need him. And that's what that breastplate does. It protects us from the evil one getting in there and destroying that relationship. Because that's what I'm talking about. That righteousness, that breastplate, oh, how many of you love it when, you know, and I can't happen for me anymore. But I used to go down to my mom, and one of the first things I'd do when I got there was I'd give her a big hug. How many of you loved a mom hug? There's nothing better in the world than a mom hug. I'm sorry, you know, dads, yeah, you're up there too, but mom's just great, sorry. But it's amazing because that's what I think of the breastplate of righteousness of Christ. That's my Savior. That's the man I love grabbing a hold of me and saying, Rich, I got you, buddy. I love you. You're mine. And I can't let go of that. You know, that's not a very manly thing, Pastor. Oh, yeah? Come talk to me about that, because I'll tell you right now, some of the manliest men I have ever read of, because I didn't know them, they were before my time, they knew what it meant to walk in righteousness. I want you to think about Brother David, okay? David of the Old Testament, King David. Before he was King David, he was Shepherd David. He's out there and his brothers are on the battlefield. And he's out there and he's hearing this big giant, this big old loaf of a man out there calling out the entire army and nobody will go out. And he says, well, I'll do something about this. And it gets to the king and the king says, well, bring him here. A 14-year-old, 16-year-old boy, bring him here. The king is going to send a kid. I mean, tell me, how bad is it? It's bad. And the king says, well, you got to put on my armor. And David puts on Saul's armor, and he says, I can't wear this. Number one, I haven't tested it. What does that mean? What does that mean? How many of us have tested the Lord and we know he is good? Amen, amen, amen. He had not tested Saul's armor. Number one, it probably didn't fit him. Saul was over 6 feet tall. David was a ruddy boy, about 14 to 16 years old. I think it wouldn't fit very well. But David says, in his shepherd's garb, I have the Spirit of the Lord on me. I have his righteousness on me, and I can go out like this. Well, what do you mean? He never said that. Yes, he did. He said, he hath delivered into my hand both the bear and the lion. He knew what God was capable of doing with him when he stood in God. And that's what you and I need to understand. When we have that breastplate of righteousness, Christ's righteousness on us, nothing that comes against us can stand, but we can stand in that place because Christ has defeated all things. Now, are we going to have the guts to go out there and do what's necessary? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to read 1 through 24, long scriptures. But I am just about done. I will land this plane in just a few moments. From verse 1 in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, because this is our time, Lord. This is our time. This is where we live. Now, as to the times and the epochs, brethren, You have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. But we request you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish unruly, encourage faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the church says, as we read those words, that is a summation of what I'm talking about here. When we put on the breastplate of Jesus Christ, we are able to walk in the truth that we just read. Understanding that we each have a part. I am no different from you. It says that you are to honor me, and I love that idea. But I am not Christ in this world. Can I get an amen, church? I am simply the pastor of a church. You are the church. It is for you to go out and be and do all these things that we just read that are going to come. We don't know the day nor the hour, but we know it's coming. Can I get an amen? So therefore, we put on the belt of truth and we fasten to it the breastplate of righteousness. And we stand in the covering of Christ, that he has girded us with himself. And in that truth, we are able to take more than anything you will ever come into in this life. This scripture here is very clear. It may take us out, but yet we know our destiny. Can I get an amen? And we do not fear these things. We understand that it is apportioned unto men to die once. We all know that. Ain't none of us getting out alive unless the rapture happens. Okay? And when that happens, we ain't going to care anyhow, because it's going to be over like that. We'll be up there thinking, oh my goodness. But while we're here, we need to understand God has given us what we need, and we need to be prepared for this battle. We need to put the truth on every day, in every situation. You know, when something comes your way, put truth on. Think of truth. Don't think of yourself. Don't think of what you want. Think of truth. When things come your way, look at it through Christ's righteousness. We need to have a heart that says every human being can be saved. That's what it says here. You know, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you. Do not quench the Spirit and do not despise prophetic utterances. We are to be patient with everyone. We are to look at the righteousness of Christ. What did he do? That's who we're to be. Did Jesus tell anybody you're kicked out of heaven? That's a trick question, because the answer to that is yes, he did. Because he told several of them, we just read it. You are of your Father. He understands the truth, so too do we. But we cannot see what he can see. So we need to walk into this looking at it that everyone can be saved. Because that's what Christ wants of us. I don't know about you. Heaven's Betsy, how many of us know about herself from one moment to the next? You know, I've talked with elders already, and they've said to me, well, you know, Pastor, there are times that I just wander. Well, don't wander too far. You might get lost. Don't let the evil one take you too far down that road. Come on back, put that truth around yourself, put that righteousness back on, and stand. We all have doubts. We all have worries. We all have trials. We all have temptations. But when we are prepared for the battle, none of those things can affect us. For our salvation in Christ Jesus is what? Sure. Pray with me this day. Father God, I thank you that you are preparing us to put on the full armor. And Lord, as over these next 2 weeks, we look at the rest of the armor, Lord, I pray that you will put into our hearts, our minds, all that we need to do and how we need to walk and work. For Lord, you have loved us so much that you have given us everything we need to make it through this life. There is nothing that can come at us that you cannot combat. So Lord, may we stand fast with your righteousness on our hearts, protecting us and giving us the courage to move forward. May we stand with your truth girded around our loins, that we may have the strength to get through this trial, through this test, and be victorious, because your truth holds firm. Nothing can shake it. For Lord God, you have given us your very self, and you have overcome it all. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting for the day when we will be received to yourself. We long for that day, Lord. But until you come, we have work to do. Help us to prepare for the battle, and may we be ready to fight. In Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.